This is the Elevate Podcast, where trial lawyers learn, share, and grow. Let's talk about how we can elevate our trial practices, law firms, and lives. And now, here are your hosts, coming to you from coast to coast, trial lawyers Ben Gideon and Rahul Ravipudi.
Today's episode of the Elevate Podcast is brought to you by the Expert Institute. Check out Expert Institute's new cutting-edge feature, Expert Radar, where they track down background information about your own expert or the opposing expert, including their litigation activity, any times they've been challenged, speeches, articles, presentations, deposition transcripts, you name it. Just push the button and let them go to work tracking down all that information for you. Saves you time, and when they find information that is helpful to you, it can be a game changer for your case. Check them out at expertinstitute.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Hype Legal. Hype Legal is a digital marketing and web development firm specializing in helping the high end of the trial practice develop great websites, great digital marketing campaigns. Give them a call, talk to Tyler or Micah over there, see what they can do for you. Finally, today's episode is brought to you by Smart Advocate. Smart Advocate is award-winning case management software used by trial lawyers all over the country to help manage the docket of cases that you have in your practice. Allows you to do everything from templates to forms to work plans, saves time, makes your practice more profitable and efficient. Check them out at smartadvocate.com. So welcome to a special bonus episode of the Elevate Podcast. We're really excited today to talk to our friends at the Expert Institute. As our listeners know, you guys have been great sponsors of our show from the outset, which we really appreciate. You have got a great company providing some really essential services to people who do what we do for a living. So we want to really mostly hear from you today about your business and what some of the new cutting edge stuff you're offering trial lawyers. So we have with us Michael Morgenstern, Senior Vice President for Marketing at Expert Institute. Neil Nemiroff is the Senior Vice President of Content and Data Strategy. And John Demler, Senior Vice President and Head of Product and Technology. So first, can you just guys tell us, for those listeners who may have been living in a cave and don't know who the Expert Institute is or what you do, just give us kind of the brief thumbnail sketch of what your company does.
We've been in business since about 2010. We work primarily with plaintiff attorneys. But we do work across all practice areas, and our core service would be providing expert search and vetting across all specialties in any geography, but primarily across North America. And the business has primarily been a professional services business, but over the years, listening to the market, being in this industry for such a long time, the business has evolved in a number of ways, and we have consulting services primarily on medical malpractice cases. We have a team of about 50 physicians on staff that can provide consulting services to attorneys that are looking to validate cases for merit. And what John and Neil are going to speak more on is that we are now getting more involved in developing software and providing data and content to trial attorneys, primarily about expert witnesses. So I'll let John and Neil get into more details because it's really exciting and we can't wait to share it with the market.
Yeah, and I understand you have a new product called Expert Radar. Is that what you're referring to? And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I can step in, Ben. So we've taken that 10-year history of operating primarily around expert search and referral and being experts on experts and understanding all the information that it requires to do that successfully. And there's an accumulation of content that's gone on, and we've recognized we could be using it in different ways and packaging it in different ways. And that's much of the backstory to what is now Radar. We cleaned up that database of experts. We extended it and acquired third-party content sets to integrate to it and built a content management infrastructure that allows us to very efficiently process that information and serve it up to our clients through Expert IQ in a very, you know, kind of cutting edge format relative to what they might be used to elsewhere in terms of, you know, having a profile of an expert witness or really understanding a background in depth. And what I mean by that is, you know, the delivery through a web-based application, you know, allows that information to be much more in depth. It also allows it to be structured in a way that allows us to update it and push updates in real time and alert you if something changes on an expert's profile. And it allows the user to comb through the information in a much more efficient manner. So we provide search on top of profiles. We will provide an ability to bookmark and kind of highlight within the application to share findings and communicate around different facets of the expert that you might want to highlight to a colleague. And we're seeing a lot of strong reception to that approach, and just you know, a much more different, much more collaborative approach to diligencing an expert and understanding all the different bits of information that can help you evaluate where to take questioning or how to just approach an individual.
So is this, if you have opposing experts, you're trying to get opposition research on them, is that where that comes into play? And can you give us some examples of the kind of different types of data that might provide to counsel to help, you know, examine the opposing experts?
Sure, Ben. Our radars are available on your own witnesses, opposition witnesses, and even defendants. And that's because it's so in-depth and it makes a lot of sense given that most trial attorneys are going to be reviewing this content anyway and looking for this type of information on those experts or defendants. The depth of the profiles that we create are really rich, as John was saying. On the professional side, we'll cover their education, licenses, certifications, publications, awards, grants, conferences, and we also cover their risk and credibility. So we do background checks, look at any kind of news articles associated with them, disciplinary actions, malpractice, social media. And then one of the parts that our clients have really embraced and value considerably is the litigation activity. So regardless of if that expert was being challenged or not, anytime they're an expert witness or anytime they're a defendant, we go into a deep dive into those cases that they're involved with and create just this actionable intelligence. So the trial lawyer knows this is where I need to go with this witness during a deposition or during a trial. I have a lot of information and experience based on the litigation activity, seeing how this witness has reacted and what their responses have been. And it just seems to really resonate with our core clients substantially.
By litigation activity, are you primarily talking about prior testimony at deposition or trial? Or
yeah, anytime they've been involved in a case, yeah. As a part of the proceeding, sometimes you get an indication without a deposition as to how that expert is, what that expert's actually going to say. So those are recorded in the different documents that we collect from the docket. And so, yeah, that information is included in there, plus anything that they said during a deposition or in a trial. And we categorize that and present it in a way that really matches the workflow of how an attorney and the attorney's team, you know, moves forward with the case.
And in some cases, you know, much to Neil's chagrin at times, there will be hundreds of litigation activities that exist against a particular expert, whether those are actual expert witness testimony or personal litigation that they've been involved with. And the amount of time we save for attorneys that would otherwise attempt to gather that on their own and then put it in some, you know, system or print it and then efficiently work through it, we feel like there's tremendous value that we're providing doing that on their behalf and giving them a tool to work through that information smoothly and really in a collaborative fashion if you want to approach it that way across the team.
There are some other ways to obtain that type of information. What I'm familiar with is through the Lexis database or Westlaw or TrialSmith. How does what you guys do differ from what might be available through some of those other sources, if you're familiar with them?
For one, it's a lot of effort to go to all of those different sources to get a complete picture. And that's what you'd have to do. Not one of them offers a complete picture. And so part of the value of what we do is we're going to all different services, all different applications, have deep relationships with third parties where we're acquiring this data. We have our own very large research teams that are going out and getting this on our own. And so it becomes not only a factor of having a complete picture by taking all of the services that may be out there that a firm may use, but it also is an ROI issue. It's going to cost an attorney many, many times what it cost us to do it, because we have such a process in place that we can leverage across all different, all of our firms, and every time we deliver a radar.
Yeah, I mean, I will say I took advantage of that service myself in a recent case with an expert who had quite a litigation history, and you guys pulled together a quite massive volume of materials, depositions, and lots of stuff. And you know, when you do this for a living, getting that wide net of material is so helpful, because sometimes it can just be one thing that makes all the difference, but you don't know what the one thing is until you've seen it all, right? So I did find that helpful. And yes, it does take, if I assign my staff the responsibility of gathering all the expert materials, that is hours and hours of staff time to do that. So I see the value in that.
And one just other point to come back to on that, in a lot of cases with folks we compete with in this space, it's a one-time exercise to go gather that information. And what we want to make sure comes through to our clients and users is that once you enable radar on an individual, it's an ongoing monitoring process that occurs. So new publications come online, new presentations that have gone up on YouTube, anything, new litigation activity, we alert you when that change occurs and give you an opportunity to jump in and check out what's changed. So a really valuable part of that service, and just, you know, a very dynamic versus static approach to delivering this type of information.
We'd like to thank the sponsors of the Elevate podcast, Steno. Steno is a court reporting service offering court reporting all over the United States. The great feature of Steno, among others, is that they offer the ability to defer payment for court reporting services until the end of your case, which means you can enhance your cash flow as a plaintiff's lawyer, since you're not getting paid until the case resolves, allowing you the freedom to take as many depositions as you want and you need in order to prove your case. Check them out at steno.com. We're also sponsored today by Law Pods. Law Pods is a service that helps lawyers create podcasts like the very podcast you're listening to right now. Law Pods is our producer. All of the great content and production quality for the show, which is terrific, is done by Law Pods. If you have an idea for a podcast or just want to run something by them, check them out at lawpods.com. Give them a call and see what they can do to help you.
The static approach is pretty important, because when you're looking at a presentation, yeah, so we let you know that this expert is involved in a presentation, but then we take it deeper and allow you through the platform Expert IQ, we allow you then to go deeper into that presentation and potentially see the actual presentation that the expert gave, or at the very least, look at the topics that were involved in that presentation and why it may be pertinent to your case.
I don't want you to disclose any trade secrets, but that's one thing that I've always found can be incredibly valuable, but it's hard to get our expert speeches and presentations, lectures. You know, if the expert's speaking at the Defense Research Institute on how to kill the plaintiff's case, you know, you kind of like to get the PowerPoints and syllabus for that, but it's really hard to get How do you guys...
We're not going to get it every time. Yeah. We're not going to get it every time, for sure. But, you know, we aggressively go after getting the details on the presentations, on the publications, on the conferences, on the research that they've been involved in, if it's a medical professional specifically. So, yeah.
And how do you guys do that? Are you just doing actual legwork with people that are kind of reaching out and trying to get individual items? Or is there some kind of third-party collection of this data that you can tap into? And again, I don't want you to tell us your trade secrets, but it just interests me.
It's no trade secret. It's really kind of part of our process. You know, certainly third-party relationships that we have that we're allowed to scale, that we're enabled to scale across all of our clients, that's certainly part of it. We use a lot of tools that allow us to search the web in a efficient way and obtain this information if it's there. But because of our very large research team that we now have, we're able to make calls and get information where we believe it is available. And it is oftentimes a hunt. We're scavengers in a way. But it's better that we're the scavengers looking for this information than you guys spending a lot of time doing it yourselves. And like I said, we're not always able to get that detailed information that is that kind of gold nugget that you as a attorney are looking for. But we certainly do the legwork to get it and make it available to you.
And it, you know, good mix of...
Oh, that's a great segue. Yeah, for sure. So anytime we're able to get the deposition from our clients, from the docket itself, many depositions and trial transcripts are available on the docket. We aggressively go after it. And as a part of the feedback that we've received from our clients, we're actually introducing our transcript network. I believe it's going to be released in the next couple of weeks, which really takes advantage of this huge community of clients that we have that are so willing to give us their depositions so that it can be shared throughout the ecosystem of our clients and throughout Expert IQ. So we're really excited about that because we feel that we're uniquely positioned to not only get quantity in terms of the number of transcripts that our clients want, but as John alluded to earlier, that it's going to really, we're going to turn it not into not just documents, but turn it into content through our Expert IQ platform. So clients will be able to search in a myriad of different ways to find the right deposition, to identify the salient points of that deposition that may be germane to the case, and even redact certain parts that they don't want other attorneys to see. They can easily redact it. Ideally, at a bare minimum, repository enables now a lot of our attorneys who may have a cabinet full of depositions or may have different lawyers having depositions and transcripts where they don't have access to, at the very least, we're giving them access to a mechanism that they can have all of their depositions in one place, manage their own depositions as they see fit, even making them private if they choose. And it becomes a great tool for them and to stay on, of course, Expert IQ, but also to enable them to manage, search, and get the greatest benefit out of their own repository of transcripts.
I was told I was supposed to ask you about insurance claims data, but you don't want to get into too much detail about that at this time. So what can you tell us about insurance claims data?
Well, essentially, we've released the ability for our clients to see, is an expert really clinically active, right? Based on Medicare claims and other types of sources, we're able to give them an indication that you may say that you're expert, but you've never done this procedure. You may say you're an expert in this particular case, but you rarely ever do this procedure.
You're saying that there's data out there. If we got a general surgeon and it's a laparoscopic cholecystectomy case, there's data on how many times insurance companies have been asked to reimburse for that doctor performing that procedure that you can look at to tell us whether they actually do that or not. Is that what you're...
Exactly. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
There is data, and you know, it's very directional in nature, but there's information, and we're seeing a lot of clients find a ton of value in just having a glimpse at that and using it to develop some questioning. And
what kind of format do we get that data in? Is it like summary of the number of procedures, or what is it, an Excel spreadsheet? What's actually coming our way on that?
It's delivered alongside the radar profile. So it's delivered in Expert IQ. And if you can imagine some summary information, just high level procedure volume, diagnosis volume relative to peers that we define, as well as a very detailed claim level, you know, code level descriptions. So we see a lot of people coming in and punching in a specific procedure like you described, and quickly getting a sense of an activity level around that.
That's interesting. Tell us about litigation analytics.
Well, litigation analytics was that main kind of heart of the profile that Neil described, where we go out and we inventory all the case history for a particular expert. The initial rollout of that was really just kind of a series of tables and grids that listed the specific case involvement. But we did some work to really kind of celebrate that content and put a nice experience on top of it. In many cases, where you have hundreds of litigation activities, so we made some clickable charts and just summary information so you can quickly get a sense, is this expert predominantly affiliated with defense versus plaintiff? You know, we have a chart that demonstrates their activity over time. So is their activity level increasing, maybe at the expense of active practice in their profession? Or was there a big spike of activity, you know, in the early 2000s? What was that about? So it's just a great way to give you a quick snapshot of what the detail level litigation activity might be suggesting to you without necessarily having to go through and build that picture yourself. And we have a lot of plans to keep enhancing that and developing different, you know, measures or analytics that you can imagine for expert witness activity. So a lot of what we've done there, in my opinion, really just kind of scratches the surface of what we could do there.
And I see it as a bit of a scorecard, if you will. You know, like we're able, even from those charts, you're able to see how often are they challenged and what grounds are they challenged on, you know, so you get an idea of, is this expert, you know, is there a higher chance that they're going to be challenged and how I should challenge them? And a lot of attorneys tell me that, you know, if I see an expert that is only working for the defense, that in itself, by seeing the level or the percentage of their work that is just done for the plaintiff or just done for defense, that in itself kind of gives them insight as to a way to maybe attack an opposition witness, for example.
What's the craziest thing you've found on any expert without getting too specific to the case? But
well, I'll tell you one that just happened last week in terms of a radar that we've done. Is that there's an expert, or I think they're a defendant as well, but a doctor, where they've been charged with manslaughter. And that's not the case, though. The case isn't about them, but it's about this particular doctor who is going to be an expert witness, but been charged with manslaughter. That's pretty radical.
It's a nice fact to know, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, guys, we really appreciate your coming on and describing the service. If our listeners are interested in either the Expert Institute or in general, or the specific new Expert Radar service that we've discussed today, how do they go about finding you guys and signing up for that?
They could simply visit expertinstitute.com and they could find a link to Expert Radar easily in our top navigation. They Google Expert Radar, we're the number one result. And I just want to add some more color here. Like Neil and John have been describing, there's just such a deep, rich amount of data, as you can imagine, on experts through their litigation experience, social media activity, insurance claims data. And all of it is packaged up in such a beautiful piece of software that is called Expert IQ. And it just makes navigating through all of this information super easy for the user, and we're really excited for people to come check it out.
Well, appreciate it. It's a great service that saves us a lot of time, and it, in the right case, it can really be a game changer, and it helps our clients tremendously to have that. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate the collaboration and appreciate your support for the podcast.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your time, guys.
Thank you, guys.
For more information about today's guests and the topics discussed on the show, please visit our website at www.elevate.net. That's ELAWBATE.net, where you'll find guest profiles and show notes, and you can continue the conversation by joining our Facebook group. And if you enjoyed today's show, we hope that you'll subscribe and consider giving us a 5-star review. So for now, keep on working to elevate your trial law practice, and we'll see you back again soon.